Spirits. You are listening to WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM on your dial, and also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. Our show is Inner Divinity, and we're here each week to help you discover and live from your highest self, your true self, and to discover the peace and the joy that is your birthright as a divinely created being. WAIF, as a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect those of WAIF, its board of trustees, staff, or programmers. The opinions expressed on this program are my own views or those of my guest. Thank you so much for tuning in today, right here on 88.3 FM, every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. If you want to be inspired to live a happier and healthier life, or to discover the thousands of simple tools that are available to help you do that, or if you want to feel more love in your life, or feel more connected with your own higher self, and if you want to create more joy or peace or beauty in the world, then you're in the right place. On Inner Divinity, we are committed to healing our bodies, our minds, and our spirits, to remembering the truth of who we really are. We focus here on spirituality rather than on religion. So if you long for any of that, then tune in every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Spiritual growth is our passion here, in part because we've had to learn to access a power greater than our individual selves in order to heal deep wounds and make living worthwhile. We know that each person is a divinely created being with God-given free will and the potential power to rise up out of any pain or suffering. We know that because we've both done it and watched countless others do it as well. Mostly, all we need to do to relieve suffering is to discover, accept, and then release whatever has blocked our connection with the divine source of all life. Call that God or Great Spirit or Goddess or Universal Spirit. In my experience, it doesn't really matter what we call it, but it matters greatly that we call on it. Because what blocks us is often subconscious, below our current level of awareness, we need a power that is bigger than ourselves to begin reclaiming who we really are, to release those blocks and begin embracing our God-given birthrights to feel whole, happy, and at peace in mind, in body, and in spirit. My name is Reverend Louisa Dyer. I'm a metaphysical minister and a spiritual life coach with a master's in counseling psychology. And my co-host is Sage Woman, an ordained intuitive and shamanic priestess. Our shared passion is helping anyone who wants to grow, who wants to awaken to the truth of who they really are, and to share the many ways that we've discovered for doing so. We follow many of the teachings of our Native American ancestors, and we both know way too much about releasing pain, about how to heal, because we've had to learn in order to keep living. Feeling connected with divine power and taking action from that deep, unconditional love that lives inside of us can and does heal every type of suffering. So each week on Inner Divinity, we focus on what works, on what helps, on what really matters. We give you the tools and the inspiration to begin living the life you've always wanted to live. And we hope that you and all of your friends join us right here on 88.3 FM or online at WAIF883.org every Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Divine Spirit is alive in you. We know that because without it, you wouldn't be breathing. When spirit leaves the body dies. And until then, you carry that divine spark of life and the power and the love that it holds right inside of you. And because of that inner divinity, you have the choice and the power to rise up out of depression, addiction, victimhood, or any other type of suffering that you've been doing. There's never really anything that we need to get or gain in order to experience love or peace or joy or wholeness. There's only stuff to let go of. The stuff that has blocked our awareness of already having all of that living right inside of us. We begin that journey each week with a little music to uplift our spirits, to remind us of what is true, and to let ourselves move if we want to, so the body can actually feel the spirit moving inside of it. We also want to let you know that there's a Facebook page for this show by the same name, Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within, and we'd love to hear from you on that page. So thanks so much for joining us today, and we hope you stay tuned for today's exploration of how to live a happier, healthier, more spiritually connected life. Here's some music to get us moving on that divine journey. Enjoy.
It's time for
happy Wednesday. Hope you enjoyed the music. That was Time for a Change by Here to Hear. If you're just joining us, I am Sage Woman, and I am an intuitive ordained minister and shamanic priestess and your co-host for Inner Divinity. And you are joining us at WAIF Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. And we are a listener-supported radio station. And you can also catch us live streaming online at WAIF883.org. So this is a show that's focused on empowering your highest self and discovering the tools and inspiration to live a happier, healthier, and more spiritually connected life. Today I have with me a very dear friend, new friend, but very dear friend, and the host of this wonderful show, Reverend Louisa Dyer. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Sage. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
You're looking good, even with your 3-inch heels.
Thank you. You know, I went down a couple inches. So, I also have a special guest here with us, and his name is Mr. Ari Schroyer. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. He's also my wonderful 22-year-old son, so we're going to be talking today about spiritual freedom and what that means.
Mm.
I thought it was a great day.
9/11.
Yes, to explore what spiritual freedom means, because it's something that we have the choice to make. And I thought it would be cool to kind of hear everybody's thoughts on how they have, you know, learned and lived with that and along the way. Ari, I'm going to start with you. I'm going to ask you, just I always am curious, just really for what spiritual freedom means for young people that have grown up in the time that you have, you know, because it's, I think it's different.
Oh, yeah.
I know it is, you know, but I'm curious how you feel about it.
Yeah, you know, I look at it on two levels. One, just by being an American, you know, we are introduced to so many different spiritual and religious traditions just by existing in this multicultural country. It's amazing, especially today, you can go into any community. You don't have to just be on the coast, New York or L.A. You can be in the heartland, Iowa, Minnesota, Cincinnati, and you still find a plethora of religious traditions. I mean, I think we've got a couple of Buddhist monasteries in Cincinnati that have been here for quite a while. So I know for me, and at least for people that are millennials, as we're being called, this is the world we were born into. And we were born into having, I won't cheapen it by calling it a buffet or a smorgasbord of religious options, but perhaps more powerfully, we were given a world that said it was okay to look. And it was okay to be born into your own family traditions, but to say, you know what? This worked for a mom and dad, for grandparents, but I have to check out my soul and see what feels right, what works out for me in this new world. So as long as people feel like they have that empowerment, then they can really begin that soul's journey, which I think doesn't really end till the day you leave this planet.
Oh, and it doesn't end then, believe me.
Yeah, that's just the true beginning, right?
Yeah, I've talked to plenty of people whose soul has left the body, and believe me, they're going on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't end. But I'm curious, because you said that it's more open, that you get to make a choice. And I'm wondering how that does feel empowering to you. So are you saying that you've never really felt that pressure to conform in a religious or spiritual way? I'm sure not with your mother, but it by society or...
Oh, it's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely real, but I'll say that pressure is lessening.
That's great.
And I think that people, they know just psychologically that they have to come to terms with that part of them.
Mm-hmm.
That the spirit, or, you know, even what we used to call the soul, you could say.
Yeah.
That's an area just as vital to work on as your heart and as your brain and every other part of your body, if not maybe more.
So you think your generation really has a greater or a larger understanding of that than generations gone before?
I won't be so presumptuous to say that.
Smart move.
But I will say there is a consciousness that I observe.
I think that's wonderful.
I do too. I do, too. I really do. I mean, we conversate about this a lot, obviously, in your home now for a little while, so we've been talking about it, and you've been growing. But I just know for me growing up, I always knew inside of me that no matter where I was taken, in the sense of where I was as a child, you went. you, if you didn't go to church, you were grounded for the week. And that's okay. You know, I mean, that works for some people, and it's all cool. But for me, I never fit anywhere because it just, I don't know, I just didn't feel it. And but what's cool about it is I was given a lot of opportunity to explore a lot of different types of dogmas, and both religious, both spiritual. And I always, now I look at it more as, for me, spiritual freedom really is however you personally get to your God, you know, how you go there. And when you're there, how you are in human form and how you show up, how you shine that God light, that God energy. Because it would be hard to think that we could even begin to have one way because we're so different.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we all sit down to eat and we all order something different, right? It's
right.
It's our taste, it's our energy, it's what we're drawn to. But that kind of has been my, I think now it's cool because I'm not searching, and that's a new place to be.
What a relief.
It is good. I'm learning and growing. Constantly. I'm more of a learner now than I've ever been, I think. But mm-hmm.
And open to those teachable moments.
Absolutely. That's the key, is being open. But when your soul, when you get to that space and you've found where it's at, it just then becomes your way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really knew that. I did a lot of looking, a lot of searching, a lot of it. Maybe more than most people do. And I don't know. Maybe not. But I'm at a place where I've taken all of that time and now found that soul energy that just feels right.
Yeah.
And would you say you're stronger because of having actually looked at these other traditions, these other ways of connecting to the divine?
Absolutely. I'm not only stronger, but I am so much more open and understanding of others' beliefs.
Right.
And one thing I've never been, and it's probably because I've never wanted to be judged, I've never been judgmental. It's just something that's never been in me. And so it's always been pretty easy to look and allow, but not. That's another thing with spiritual freedom. It's for yourself, but you allow it for others. You
right.
don't try to get them to follow. And it's about finding their own walk, you know. So in your journey, talk to me about what that is for you, spiritual freedom. I've been curious about that.
Well, we don't have 6 weeks.
I'll get the teaser.
Yeah. I was raised in a very fundamentalist, very oppressive religious home and was, I can't even go there. Anyway, out of all of the dreadfulness of all of that, I attempted to become an atheist, and I couldn't do it because I've always had this incredible connection with Source. And so I very proudly became an agnostic. But then that didn't even work either because that just seemed like wishy-washy. And so I had a near-death experience when I was 19.
Wow.
And so out of that, I had an understanding and a connection with God that blew my mind mm-hmm. based on what I had been taught prior to that. So from that time at 19, and I'm now almost 59, so that was 40 years ago, people. unbelievable. But from that time to now, I have studied almost every world religion that there is, almost every tribal religion that there is, almost every New Age thing that there is. I have made it my life's work to understand all the different ways that human beings find to try to connect with whatever they call God. And what I love about it, I learned this in a mysticism class, actually, many, many years ago. And this is when I was able to stop hating any particular religion, is when I discovered that the core of all the religions are the same. It's the same thing. That the core of every religion is the same thing. And then all the dogma and the politics get built on top of it. And then you get, you know, this one and then that one. And so out of that, when I was able to stop hating what I had been shoved down my own throat when I was young, then I was able to open up to everything a whole lot more. And what I've discovered, and my favorite phrase is, there are as many ways to God as there are blades of grass.
Love that.
And it's true. And I work with people all the time who have explored this way or that way. And I think what it really comes down to is, do you want a personal relationship with that divine spirit, or do you want an intellectual relationship with that divine spirit? Do you want something that you feel that you're in co-creation with, or do you want something that you feel like you can be wrapped up in their arms? And that's kind of what guides people, is do you want a savior, or do you want to feel part of the co-creative process? And so for me, what spiritual freedom really means is I get to be at one with God. I am not a child of God. I do not think of it that way. I am God made manifest. God is in me, and I am in God. And so there's one energy in the universe, and I'm part of it, and so is everybody else. And so for me, spiritual freedom means being able to claim that without having the fear in my head of, oh, what if those fundamentalists were right and I really am going to hell? That's what it really means to me, is that I can feel that Holy Spirit. I can feel that power. I can feel that connection, and I can see it working in the world, and I can help other people tap into that and use who they really are, which is divine, to create lives they want to live. And to me, that's what spiritual freedom really is. It's about being able to make that conscious choice rather than having to live within some predetermined set of dogma or politics, because there's not one out there that I fit in. I had to do that, like you were saying. It's just like in psychology, when I was a psychologist, I couldn't pick, like, okay, what's your psychological framework? Are you Jungian? Are you Freudian? And it's like, well, I take a little bit of this, and I take a little bit of that.
Multidimensional.
Yeah, I cannot do that box thing. I've never been able to. You know, people say, think outside the box. I say, just throw the box away. I just don't do boxes really well.
Yeah.
So that's what freedom means to me.
I think, too, that what I made mention of something on this note last night at a gathering that we were at about just spiritual freedom is now to be able to be here in 2013 in Cincinnati, Ohio, in the Midwest, and to have a radio show that we can speak about these things.
That's true.
And it's not, I mean, I love it, because it's been a big change in this part of the planet, you know, to be able to have that ability to really speak your truth about how you feel connected to God, or
right,
how you feel as a co-creator with God, because that's, you know, that's where I'm the most comfortable, because
yeah,
I feel that. And but I think it's just so cool that we're able to. And I'm going to play a song.
Great.
By one of my favorites, and one of his favorite songs, or that I feel that is really just has some meaning for today, and you're going to listen to Mr. Kid Rock and Born Free.
Oh,
so
yes.
So enjoy. Cincinnati, 88.3 FM. Also live streaming online at WAIF883.org. I am here with Reverend Louisa Dyer, host of this wonderful show, and I am Sage Woman, co-host, and we are also talking to Ari Schroyer, and we are talking about spiritual freedom and what that means to each of us. And before, I want to talk a little bit about Grailville. I love that place. I've spent many times out there, outside, and at really cool events, and it is owned and operated by the Grail, an international movement of women in 18 countries working for social transformation. Grailville is located in Loveland, Ohio, and it does offer programs on ecology, spirituality, feminism, the arts, and social justice. For more information about Grailville, you can call them at 513-683-2340 or go on their website at www.grailville.org. So welcome back. Ah, spiritual freedom. What a day, right?
What a topic.
Yeah, what a topic. You know, for me again, I just am overwhelmed at that I'm able to sit here and talk about this subject. I think that's the difference of being in my age range and how I grew up as opposed to you, because you grew up with me, so you were exposed to a lot.
Right.
You had lots of choices along the way of my journey, too, you know. How do you see spiritual freedom? How did you see that when you were at school, you know, when you were going to college in Chicago?
Yeah, you know, that was one of my first reservations about being in Chicago. It is a pretty secular city, and, you know, I'm not a terribly evangelical person when it comes to my faith. I think it's something that... You know, it doesn't take very long to get me to start talking about if you really are that interested, but I don't go around proselytizing people.
Right.
But I was concerned about being in Chicago and some of the values that you do lose. That's the only thing that's kind of a part of this shift that's taking place from traditional religion. You do lose some of these quote-unquote values, but I know they'll get picked up in a different form. But we're sort of at this place where... The bridge is leaky, and we're losing some of those virtues. We're losing an area or a means to talk about them, and that was through religion. But, you know, there are a number of people that are older that have thrown off that yoke, and there are a lot of people that are younger that aren't interested in even getting into it in the first place. But yet, that doesn't take away our humanness, and it doesn't take away the need for spirituality. I think it's something every person needs in their life. So I was a little bit concerned about not finding that in Chicago. But I was really surprised because, you know what, even if people did practice agnosticism, you know, and you say, how do you practice agnosticism? Well, you know, you're a good person and you don't put people down.
Ethics, morals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And those are very powerful. And you don't need to go around preaching them per se. You live them. And that's the most powerful testimony you can get, at least for me. So, fortunately, I was just introduced to people from all sorts of faith traditions that walked very good, very virtuous lives. And that's all that I needed to see.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, you make me think of something. When I was in graduate school in East Bay of San Francisco, I was in a program that was focused on holistic psychology and spiritual systems. And many, if not most, of our classes, even the ones that were about so-called straight psychology, had this really clear focus in them about spirituality. And after having sat in those classes for about at least 8 months, maybe the first year, I remember one day raising my hand and saying, okay, you know what? We've been talking about spirit here now together for a year, and I've never heard one single person utter the word God.
Mm.
What are we talking about? What is going on here? And when you were talking, it sort of made me think, that's what I think people don't know how to talk about without the structure of religion, is how to say the word God, because so many of us have been so, if not outright abused, certainly annoyed by overly religious zealot type people. And so I think that word, I couldn't say that word myself for about 20 years. It took me that long to come and to have a view and a feeling and an image of God that wasn't like this angry adolescent Zeus image that I had from my childhood. And so in graduate school, and this was in the mid-80s, but San Francisco, right? So pretty progressive area. But still, people couldn't. It took work. And this was what we were getting a master's degree in. It wasn't actually divinity school, but it was about as close as you could come without actually doing that. And people would choke and stutter when they would try to talk about God because they had so much like, okay, now I'm not talking about this God and I'm not talking about that God and I can't say God without meaning. And so it's like we had to develop a whole new language. And I think that's kind of what you're speaking to.
And that's what we're getting as a society. That's
yeah.
That's what I think. Because you're right. Those avenues we had to talk about these things, they exist in some form today, but not everybody's on board. It was one thing when everyone was going to their local church, even if they were different denominations. You were still getting a similar cultural experience every Sunday, each family. But that's not really America today. It is in some ways, but not everywhere. And so it's like all those other people that aren't going to church, quote unquote, every Sunday, they still deserve to have an outlet that fed. Because that hunger's still there, whether they know it or they don't, because it's coming out in some way, especially if it's, you know, subconscious.
Well, and isn't it interesting that that's literally what this country was founded on? Was religious freedom.
Absolutely.
And so here we are, however many hundreds of years later, taking that to the next level and talking about spiritual freedom. But it's the same thing, really, isn't it?
It is. It is. You know, it's like, I think when I think of the spiritual aspect of spiritual freedom, it's about not having the guilt.
Yeah.
With that. I mean, you know, it's the guilt that some of us grew up with when we didn't understand that it didn't feel right, that it was that relationship didn't feel strong. It felt intimidating and kind of odd and not powerful. And my feeling is when I'm me and I'm existing on this planet, you know, as a spiritual form, spirit in human form, that I am powerful. I'm empowered, and that's why I'm here to shine that.
Right.
Without all of the restrictions and rules. I mean, I don't do rules very well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm respectful. I do respect. Respect to me is respect. Rules are tough for me sometimes, especially if it has to do with my personal who I am and what I'm about and what I feel, and especially when it's that a hugely personal relationship with what you are and
right.
What you know you are and what fuels your passions and fuels your life's purpose. And you just know, we've talked about it before, when you're in that place and it just feels that you're doing the work of God. You're doing
right.
God's work, however you want to say it. And I agree with you that there was a time that it was so weird. It was in that middle place. Because I've always known there's the energy of God, the universe, you know. But there was that time you couldn't say it because it was just the weirdest time to go through. And that was, I'm glad that I'm through that because to me, you know, I use a lot of different terms. It depends on what feels right, but it's all the same. It's that all-knowing, all unconditional love, the place of coming from love and not fear. And that's the key. When you're living that's when the change arises.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the changes within yourself are free. You're free of all the chains that have, you know, stood in your way of shining. The doubt, the worry, the fear, not knowing that you're good enough, etc. I stay away from all that. I am all about what empowers me to know that I am here to be abundant and joyful and blissful and can speak from my soul and not worry about if someone likes it or not.
Right. Well, you know, that's what I discovered in that mysticism class is at the core of every religion that exists, there is love and there is commitment to love. It's like, it doesn't matter what gets wrapped around it. You could call it the golden rule. That's certainly part of it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if you even go below that, love. Love of God, love of life, love as a verb, not love as mushy-gushy romantic Hollywood drama, but love as a power. That's at the core of Judaism. It's at the core of Christianity. It's at the core of everything that is Islam. It's the core of all the tribal religions. It's the core of what Lao Tzu taught. It's the core of the Bhagavad Gita, which is the oldest spiritual writings that we have on this planet for humanity. It's, even though that's a story about war, the core of it is love and commitment to it's like, I don't like rules, and I say I don't use the D word, which is discipline. Ugh, don't like that word. But I use the C word. I use the C word, commitment.
Commitment, that's good.
Because that's what I find at the core of all the religions is love as a power, as a verb, as an action, and the commitment to being it, to living it, to expressing it. And then whatever dogma or politics or churchiness gets wrapped on top of that, that's what makes religions.
Right.
But that center, and you said it well, it's the center. And however I connect with that or you connect with that, I think that's our God-given right.
It is. It is. And I've really learned something today. The love is a verb. I'm gonna use that a lot because I always say the differences of this love, that love. But love is a verb makes a lot of sense. And thanks for that.
Uh-huh.
I have a few more minutes here. I can play another song. And I'm going to play this song because I think it, again, is fitting for today. It's by John Lennon, and it's Imagine. And I think it's a beautiful song to send out with great light and love and peace.
Thank you.
and I just love it. You are listening to Inner Divinity on WAIF 88.3 FM. And we are on every Wednesday from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And we're so glad that you're listening. And really want to invite you to go to our Facebook page, and that's by the same name, Inner Divinity, and tell us, you know, what you feel, what you think. And we're always looking to hear your story. If you have something that has been transformational for you, something that you want to share, maybe you'll come on the show and join us in the studio or by the phone. And, you know, today has been a great day. I've really enjoyed having you here, Ari, and always love being here with Louisa. Yes, and it is my second show. I can say that. I'm feeling better and better. Hope everybody's grooving with everything. And as far as how, any ending words for us today, Ari?
You know, one thing I definitely took away from all of this, two things. One, how important free will is in all of this.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot. That's great.
Because that's the theological thing that God was supposed to have given us. And I think it's a pretty universal theme in world faiths. But you've got to practice that on your own, and you got to practice that with other people. Let them have their space to form their own will. And that's how you get the kind of commitment with a capital C we were talking about.
Yeah.
To get people feeling good about themselves and mobilize. Because when people of faith get that fire in them, watch out. That's how this country was birthed, and that's how this country will keep on doing great things. So people of faith, you know, that's really where the power is at.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You tell it. It is. Faith, you know, that is spiritual freedom, really, is getting to live and maybe even express how your faith lives, how it guides you. And you're right, that is an expression of free will. Mm, I love that.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that to me is such a powerful essence in itself. It is free will. It is your choice. It is your choice how you do it, what you do with it, where you do it. And then when you own that and you take responsibility for that, you begin to make those choices that create a place that is a place that is of peace, and you know, treating others the way that you treat yourself when you love who you are and you're in that space. And that's free will. Spiritual freedom, free will, to me, it's the same. You have to make that choice. It's your choice. That's what's cool about it.
Mm-hmm. And it's all about love.
It's all about love. It's the most powerful force on the planet. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, and it is. It's what we're made out of, you know? It's like, it's how the stars are created. It's what holds the universe together. There's nothing mushy or wimpy about love. Love is a power. And I think it is only by the love of God, the love of life, the love of universal spirit, whatever you want to call it, wakandaka, that's okay by me. It's like, it is only by that love that anything exists, including us. And so that's really where I think the world as a whole is coming to, is exercising that God-given birthright to know love. Because that's how we know God.
Exactly.
That's how we know God. Mm-hmm. And the last little thing I want to say is I've heard so many people say, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, love thy neighbor as thyself. And I've heard that used as an excuse for being codependent. And I just want to point something out in that phrase right there. It's love thy neighbor as thyself. Not love thy neighbor more than thyself. Not love thy neighbor to the sacrifice of thyself. It's love thy neighbor as thyself. And so the converse of that statement then is just as true. Love thyself as you would love your neighbor. And that's what I think we have missed a lot in the name of oppressive religions is they have tried to take out the caring for oneself. And that's, to me, one of the biggest differences in spirituality and religion. Is spirituality recognizes that if you're on that plane and it's going down, you got to put your oxygen mask on first if you're going to help anybody else.
Yep.
And that's what it is.
Absolutely.
You got to find it inside before you got it to give.
That's a great way to wrap that up today, because it is what it is. So it's been a great afternoon. I am in gratitude that you all have joined us today. Again, we'll be back here next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. And we are at WAIF FM Cincinnati. And you're listening to Inner Divinity. And I am Sage Woman. And you can find me on Facebook if you'd like to. And Louisa, can you tell us?
You can go to any of my websites. It's just my name, louisadyer.com. And the Facebook page for this show is Inner Divinity, Knowing the Source Within. So find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you.
And we're going to end today with a song by Madonna, Ray of Light. So let's all be rays of light.
See you next week, folks.